Hey everyone, and welcome to Outbeat Radio. Outbeat Radio is a weekly program for and about the LGBT community here in the North Bay area, and we're here every Sunday night at 8 p.m. exclusively on KRCB Radio. Outbeat Now is a public affairs show that includes the Outbeat Youth segment, and you'll find us here the fourth Sunday of each month. I'm Greg Moralia. Jeff Basham is off tonight enjoying spring break. Coming up in the first half of the hour, I'll be talking with one of the owners of Sea Thai Bistro in Santa Rosa about their restaurants, Thai food, and an upcoming special fundraising event they have planned for next Sunday. This is a gay-owned establishment that's given so much back to our community. And in the second half of the hour, we'll have the Outbeat Youth segment, and I'll be joined live by Kayla Kearney, the courageous Maria Creo High School student who came out to the entire student body during a Martin Luther King Day assembly. Mike Bellamini, who is the founder of Fit for Equality, will also be with us, and he'll be talking about his new organization and how they're raising money for LGBT youth here in Sonoma County. But first, here's your Outbeat Radio news. Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, March 27th, 2011. The Catholic Church was all over the gay news this week, beginning with a statement from the Vatican stating that the newly introduced United Nations statement condemning institutionalized homophobia around the world vilifies gay rights critics. Archbishop Silvano Tomasi said, "People are being attacked for taking positions that do not support sexual behavior between people of the same sex. When they express their moral beliefs or beliefs about human nature, they are stigmatized, and worse, they are vilified and prosecuted." The UN statement in question is backed by 85 countries, including the United States, which took the lead in introducing it earlier this week. And then the Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, appeared on 60 Minutes Overtime, where he said that same-sex couples are no more entitled to marry each other than he is entitled to marry his own mother. The former Milwaukee Archbishop explained the Catholic Church's opposition to marriage equality using a baseball analogy. He said, "I have a strong desire to play shortstop for the Yankees, but I don't have a right to because I don't have what it takes, and that would be what the Church says about marriage. We would say marriage by nature, marriage by definition, is between a man and a woman, for life, giving children. Don't tamper with this definition." When asked to explain about how same-sex marriage would harm heterosexual marriage, Dolan responded, "Because where then would the tampering stop? I mean, I love my mom," said Dolan, "but I don't have a right to marry her, okay? There are certain rights and attractions in life that are very beautiful and noble, but don't entitle you to marriage." As leader of the powerful Archdiocese of New York, Dolan is a key voice of opposition to the effort to pass a marriage equality bill in the state this year. And speaking of marriage, here in California, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco has denied a motion to lift the stay on same-sex marriages in California, pending an appeal of the federal decision that reversed Proposition 8, the state's 2008 voter-approved marriage equality ban. The federal appeals court gave no reason for their denial. Prop 8 opponents were hoping that same-sex marriages would be allowed while the appeal is decided. The Ninth Circuit has asked the California Supreme Court if anti-gay groups like Protect Marriage have the right to step in on behalf of the governor and attorney general to defend Prop 8 in court, a decision that will most likely not be made until the fall. And here in the Bay Area, for you hockey fans out there, the San Jose Sharks are joining other Bay Area sports teams by hosting a gay appreciation night for hockey fans. The Sharks' first LGBT night will be this coming Thursday as they take on the Dallas Stars at HP Pavilion. A portion of the ticket sales will go towards the San Jose Pride Festival. Here's a couple of events coming up this week in our community. The Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence cordially invite all film lovers and Vespa aficionados to Aubergine After Dark for the launching of La Vespa Dolce, a celebration of the Vespa in film with a progressive raffle for a Vespa LX50 and an auxiliary line of La Vespa Dolce merchandise. This fundraiser for Sonoma County Pride and the Sisters Grants and Scholarships Fund is the first in a series of La Dolce Vespa film screenings to be held throughout Sonoma County. The first screening will take place on Sunday, April 3rd from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Aubergine After Dark, 755 Petaluma Avenue in Sebastopol. There's a suggested donation of $5 to $10. A second screening will take place on Sunday, May 8th at the Rio Nido Roadhouse, located at 14540 Canyon 2 Road in Rio Nido, again, with a suggested $5 to $10 donation. At each event, the sisters will screen two films featuring exciting footage of Vespa scooters on the go. The sisters are planning some live entertainment during the intermission, as well as a live auction and raffle. Attendees will also have the opportunity to enter the drawing for a Vespa LX50 from Revolution Moto. The La Vespa Dolce raffle tickets are available on the Pride website at SonomaCountyPride.org and on the Russian River Sisters website at rrsisters.org. And on Sunday, April 3rd, Chef Tony at Seatai Bistro in Montgomery Village invites you to join him for a gourmet crab feast. The four-course gourmet dinner featuring fresh Dungeness crab and wine goes to benefit Positive Images and the Out to Protect Scholarship Fund here in Sonoma County. Tickets are available at the restaurant or online at outtoprotect.org. That's on Sunday, April 3rd, between noon and 6 p.m. And for more information about news and events happening in and around Sonoma County, check out www.gaysonoma.com. If you have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, you can tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Now, right here on KRCB Radio. You know, the popularity of Thai food has brought to our region a number of new restaurants, but nothing like the experience I had at Seatai Bistro. I was never really much of a Thai food fan until I experienced Chef Tony's amazing gourmet creations at this unique restaurant in Santa Rosa. Chef Tony, Dale, and T are three gay men who have not only created an exciting and fun place to enjoy great food, but they've made a commitment to give back to our community. And earlier this week, I had a chance to sit down with T and talk about his restaurant and how it all came to be. Here's what he had to say. I'm here at Seatai Bistro in Santa Rosa with one of the owners, T. T, welcome to Outbeat Now.
Thank you.
Why don't we start out by telling us, or having you tell us a little about how you came to be in Sonoma County?
Well, it's going to be a long story. Well, again, my name is T, and I'm the co-owner at Seatai Bistro in Santa Rosa. Because I'm a very friendly with Tony. We grew up together since we were young. So, and then I moved here in Santa Rosa since about 5 years ago. Because I went to school in New Hampshire, and then I got a job in New York, and I worked in New York for probably like 6 years before moving back to California.
Great. Now, have you always been in the restaurant industry?
Well, kind of, because I went to hotel management school. So I was a hotel manager in New York for 3 or 4 years. And so I'm pretty much in hospitality business. So, yeah.
Now, there are three of you that are in the restaurant here?
Actually, four. Me, Chef Tony, he's an executive chef, and his sister, Ta, who is, well, kind of money. And we got Dale Suwanarak, he's the other partner as well.
Okay, so it's really the three of you that are out front. Right. And Tony's the executive chef, and you have three restaurants, actually. You have Seatai Bistro here in Santa Rosa, and then tell us about the other two.
Oh, yes. We got the first one is in Petaluma. So that's our first location. Kind of small. We started like small, only 17 table. And second one here in Santa Rosa, which is like the largest one that we have. And the third one, we just opened like last year in Corte Madera in Marin.
Okay, great. Now, how did the three of you meet?
Well, Tony and I and Ta, his sister, we grew up together since we were young, like in Thailand. So I know him for the longest time. And so we went out on our way, school and stuff, and then we just bumped into each other when I came to see my sister who lived in California by the time that he just started the restaurant in Petaluma.
Oh, wow. So was that a chance meeting or was it all planned?
Well, it's not all planned that we met, but it's just like, you know, just coming to see family and see old friends. So, yeah.
Okay. And then you met Dale here?
Yeah, I know Dale's here because Dale is a friend of Tony. They work together and with Ta here in Santa Rosa. So I met him like maybe 7, 8 years now. Yeah.
Great. So you had the hotel hospitality experience, and Tony is the executive chef. Did he have any professional training, or is he self-taught as a chef?
Well, he is. I think it's starting from his background because his mom, when we were young, she's the best chef. She's the best cook. She didn't work, but she cooked for a family. And then I always stopped by during the weekends. And I think maybe Tony got it from there. And then he went to school, college school in the city. And then that's what he loved. So it's just a good match that we just met. And then we just worked together.
Great. So When did you discover that you were both gay?
I went to school and kind of like I was out with my, in quotation marks, my roommate. So, well, yeah. And then, you know, really bad breakup. So, you know, I need support from family and friends. So we're just talking about friends and family. So, yeah, that's about that.
Great. Well, I mean, what a fantastic outcome for the three of you to be friends and then and also enjoy, you know, being part of the whole gay community here.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So what's your experience been? You've been in New York and obviously in other places of the country. What's the experience like being here in Sonoma County and being out and gay?
Well, I have a culture shock. You know, moving from New York City, which is a big city, and then coming here, Santa Rosa, and Sonoma County is kind of like small town, so which is kind of a shock for me to move here.
So I take it you like the bigger city rather than the smaller town.
Well, when you are younger, oh, of course you love the city. It's more fun. But I'm 37 years old and not right now. So what I'm looking for now, I'm focusing on my career and success. So pretty much I'm busy working. And as you know, the restaurant business, like, you know, working seven days pretty much all day. So.
Well, no doubt about that. And every time I've come in here, I've seen you here. So I sometimes wonder what kind of social life you even have. Now, the place that you're in here in Santa Rosa, for those people who have not been here, is the spot where the old East-West Cafe used to be. How did you come about finding this place as being the place to locate C-Type Bistro?
Well, because Tony lived in Santa Rosa, and I'm a newbie here. I just moved here. And then we just, like, went out and shopping, and we live in the area around here. And we just, Tony's one day is like, oh, there's this place about to be open. So he contacted Mr. Carding, who's the owner of Montgomery Village here. So, and that's about to start, and we just invite them to be at the restaurant, the first one in Petaluma, and they love us. They love the food there. They just want us to be here. So it's just a good timing. Like, and we're going to be 4 years in June this year. So it's going to be 4 years now.
4 years. It still feels like a new restaurant. And you guys did a lot of remodeling inside. I mean, you really gutted the place.
Oh, we did. We walk in, Tony. Well, when we walk in, we know that it was a restaurant before. We were so excited because we might not have to do anything much. But we walk in for the first time. Oh, my gosh. We have to take everything out, the floors and everything. Because I believe that East West was here for like maybe 15 years. So everything needs to be changed. And then we just like have to rip everything off.
Now, did you guys do all the work yourself?
Oh, well, pretty much we got an architect who helped us doing. But decorating wise, Tony, Chef Tony, he's the best. He's an artist. I don't know. He's a chef. He's an artist. He could do everything. He do flower arrangement. He decorated everything as well. Even the color we pick on our own too.
Well, it certainly is beautiful inside. And tell us about the meaning of sea in C-Type Bistro. It doesn't mean from the ocean, right?
Actually, sea stands for Southeast Asia. Because when we start doing the restaurant and then Tony, we taste his food and then his food could be on the menu. So it's like, you know, it's not total Thai because we mix with the cultures in among the countries around Thailand in Southeast Asia. So that's why we come up with the name. See, and we have like lots of seafood sections on the menu.
You do, but you have a lot of other things too. You know, there's vegetarian plates, there's meat dishes and so forth.
Well, we have to go with the trend. Like now, people are concerned about health to be healthy. So we have to be like add more like vegetables and more sustainables and organic stuff to be in the menu.
And I want to come back and talk about the food, okay, because there's certainly a lot there to talk about. But you also just got your Michelin rating or Michelin recommendation. Tell us about that.
It was surprisingly. There's one day it just came into the mail. And we just opened the envelope, and I was like, hey, Tony, look at this. And he was screaming out loud. And then he was like, wow, we got rated from Michelin. And I was like, wow, how did it come out? Because we didn't know. It was just like anonymous. I don't know who come in, and we just got recommended for like, I would say they call it two spoons or two silverware or two utensil things. But we not get a star yet, but we got recommended.
Now, is that like the first step towards getting a full Michelin star is you get the recommendation first?
Oh, yes, exactly. That's the way to go to get a star. And hopefully we'll get a star soon.
So what what do you think that entailed then? Were people sort of secretly eating in the restaurant and evaluating the food?
I believe so, or they could send someone coming in. I just have no idea because they didn't tell us who would come in, and then or we have been warded by local people, or I have no idea.
Could have been me for all you know.
Exactly.
I don't work for Michelin. And in fact, you know, I have not been to a lot of Thai restaurants. And I'll tell you very honestly that one of my first experiences with Thai food was coming here when the restaurant first opened, way before we met. So for someone who has never experienced Thai food before, tell us about what it's like.
Well, Greg, you're not the only one here because it seems like people here in Santa Rosa, I see almost pretty much every day that, I'm the first time like eat Thai food. We try to bring Thai food, but some people who really know about Thai food could say that we are not authentic Thai. And we try not to portray that because we try to bring fresh ingredients that we could find local to mix into our cultures and to bring on the plate.
So what are some of the major sort of flavors? If people are wondering what you know, Thai food is generally like, what are some of the major flavors people would experience?
Well, they're going to say, Thai food is spicy. Thai food is, very, very spicy. It's like, some dishes are not, and some dishes are non-spicy at all. And we can tone down the spiciness because if you go to Thailand, Thai people, we have like different levels of spiciness of your taste. So like my spiciness is like very little compared to Chef Tony. He eats very spicy, but I eat very, very little spice. So
when people come in, they can say, I want it really spicy or moderate spicy or not spicy at all.
Totally. We make it fresh by orders in each meal, so we could tone it down. But some dishes we cannot reduce the heat because it already mixed with the peppers and chilies in that already. But we could tone it down.
So tell us about some of your favorites. If you were gonna recommend to a newbie like me coming to the restaurant for the first time, what are your favorites?
Well, pad Thai noodles is a signature dish for Thai restaurant, and here it's not like the other restaurant because the sauce that Tony made, the peanut sauce that he added into it, with the tamarind sauce into it, it was so good, and we do with the prawns and chickens in that, and I'm a curry person. I love the red pumpkin curry here. It was so, so good with the coconut milk, made it like creamy coconut soup. It was so good.
So curry has been one of the things that I have not enjoyed in restaurants before, the yellow curry. Tell us about, are there different curries, different flavors of curry?
Oh, totally, yes. All the curries, like we have like so many curries in Thai cuisine, so we have lots of things. But the only thing that's famous here is the red pumpkin curry and the yellow curry, which is like milder because the ingredient, besides like different types of chilies and peppers, so that's make it like taste different.
So obviously when you come in for a nice meal like this, and I really would consider this to be very high-end Thai cuisine. This is not your run-of-the-mill Thai restaurant that you go to that you see in a strip mall someplace.
No, not at all. Well, it's like everything make it up of everything. Like since you walk in, the ambience, because I have experience. I live in New York City. I live in the city. I want to bring like something fun and more like environment. Everything like the ambience, everything. The restaurant looked so nice and clean and fun. And then once the food coming out, serving on the table, and you see the Chef Tony, he's not he decorated all the plate is like an art on the plate. So put it right in front of you, so it just looks like amazing.
Yeah, it really does look like a gourmet meal when you walk in. And I think the other thing that I've noticed walking into this restaurant as opposed to the couple of other Thai restaurants I've been to is I don't smell the curry. It's all fresh. It's very clean. And that's really, really great, particularly for a new person like me. So when you have a nice meal, tell us about some of the wines and beers that go really well with Thai food.
Oh, well, for spicy food, white wine is good with the spicy food. But if you have like very, very spicy food, have beer. Have a beer because beer is very good with the spice, very, very spicy. But on the list that we offer, I would suggest because we have more of the seafood and fish, I would say that really light white wine like Pinot Blanc or Sauvignon Blanc or Gewurz Terminer, they will go because it's kind of like lemon wedge. So when you're having seafood, so those lemon flavors coming out from the white wine. So we cut those fishy taste on that.
Great. And what do you serve, primarily Sonoma County wines, or what does your wine list look like?
Oh, our wine list is huge. It's like 5-6 pages. So it's like we 80% are local from Sonoma County that we try to support local, but we have like worldwide. We have like wine from Hungary. We got some Australia and South Africa and Chile.
Now, I know my partner Tony loves the tea that you have, the hot tea afterwards, and it's a special type of a tea. Tell us about that.
It was so great that Tony, his friends, well, our Tony, Chef Tony, well, yeah, his friend who running an nonprofit organizations and then she's starting to bring the tea selections from East Asia, from China and Taiwan and Japan. And it's all organic, and it was great. And they offer us like a tea set, which is like very, very nice. And we try to serve in like a rich, flavorful, loose leaf tea. So that in that case, it's much better than those like tea bags, like, you know, in those, because it's more rich and they can refill more hot waters. We serve it's very like high end.
Well, and it is excellent. And I'm not even a real tea fan, but I really, really enjoy that loose leaf tea. It's good. Now, you mentioned organic foods. Tell us about where you get your food products for the restaurant.
First thing we do, we support local. We try to get to work with like a farm in local, especially like in Santa Rosa. We work with Sonoma Organic Company and Imbali Garden. And sometimes Tony going to the always go to the farmers market to see anything in the market, and he would go to pick some vegetables from the farm if you get a chance. And he grow himself some in the garden in his backyard. Like in the summer, he got those basils and peppers and tomatoes. He grows them himself, so he picks up sometimes and from homes and then bring it to the kitchen to the restaurant.
That's amazing. So I imagine the menu changes periodically based upon what he's been able to find?
Oh, totally, yes. Yeah. Anything he see in like fresh in season, so he tried to put it on the menu.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit and have you tell us a little bit about some of the fundraising activities you've participated in. I mean, you guys give a lot back to the community. You've done a number of events to support the gay community here. Tell us about some of the events you've participated in the past.
We do support every year at Food for Thought, and donating 25% is going to Food for Thought that carry for the food for people who have HIV and AIDS. And that's the big thing that we're doing every single year. And this year we more to trend to do, we're donating lots of our gift certificate to school, because it seems like our state have been like a huge budget cut for school and for education. So we do support for school a lot this year. And this coming event, we doing the Dungeon Craft Feast and benefiting to Positive Images and Out to Protect. So it's going to be on April the 3rd.
So that's coming right up next week. And it's another fundraising event that you're doing. You're giving more back to the community. You know, it's got to be tough in the restaurant business. You know, people aren't maybe dining out as much. Why is that so important to you to be giving that much back?
Well, you know, because it's me, starting from us, that we think, even we are minority, I would say that we are minority. We're gay, we are minority. And right now, I'm focusing on my career, and our restaurants have been successful enough. And now I think it's time to give back to community and to my own peers. So, you know, I think I want kids or teenagers to be straight on what they're doing and what they're focusing, especially in their profession or in their future career. So I think this small money, I'm sure that I could contribute and help them in their future.
Well, it's really, really amazing. So let's get back to this event on April 3rd. I'm really excited about it because we're going to be there the whole day. Dungeness crab is definitely one of my most favorite foods. So tell us about, let's start with the menu. Tell us about what's on the menu for, and this is not a typical crab feed. We're not talking about just, you know, slinging big crab legs here. This is a regular sit-down gourmet meal. Tell us about it.
Oh, totally, yeah. Because Chef Tony sees that Johnson's Crab in season, and he want to do something give back to community. And the idea that he having the auto menu is amazing. We have starting with the Johnson's Crab soup with Japanese squash in a spicy coconut and Thai herb broth. So it's like creamy from the coconut milk, add into it, and have the Dungeness crab into it. It's so good. And we also serving the Dungeness crab fried rice to go along with the entree, which is the sauteed Dungeness crab with the spring onion in homemade yellow curry and tamarind sauce. And also along the meal, we also offer a glass of red or white wine to go along. And we end up with dessert with Tony made a warm chocolate cake with organic vanilla ice cream.
Wow. So how much is the ticket for this event?
It's $50 per person, and 25% is going to two charities.
Fantastic. So this is a great opportunity to come out and support not just one, but two organizations here in Sonoma County. Positive Images, which, of course, is our youth, our LGBT youth organization. They've been around for over 20 years. I was just in a meeting last week, in fact, and they had over 40 young people at their weekly support group meeting. You know, they meet every single solitary week, and they're really providing tremendous support. And then the Out to Protect Scholarship Program, which is a very unique program, that provides funding for out LGBT young people who want to get into a law enforcement career. And, of course, in this day and age, many people are having to put themselves through a basic law enforcement training program, and so this scholarship helps them pay for that, which is really, really fantastic. And so 25% of the night's proceeds are going to go to be split between these two amazing youth organizations.
Oh, we are so excited to be a part of it. And, you know, we hope that we expect let's say at least 200 tickets selling. And then so we give out 25%, it's $2,500 giving out. Oh, please, please come.
Yeah, and you get a great meal to boot. So tell me where people can get tickets for this amazing event.
Well, you can get it online at www.outtoprotect.org/carbcrab. Or you can come stop by the restaurant, C-Thai Bistro. We are in Montgomery Village, and our address is 2323 Sonoma Avenue at the corners of Farmers Lane and Sonoma Avenue in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, right there in Montgomery Village, you can stop in and pick up your tickets. So there's four seatings available. Tell us about when people can choose to come in for their meal.
Right. We try, because we expect there to be a lot of people come in. So we try to make it organized. We want to welcome every single person to come in to participate in this. So the first seating start at 12. And then we expect it to be full house for hungry people at lunchtime. And then the second one will be at 2 o'clock. And then the third one at 4. And the last one at 6 o'clock. But we will try to accommodate every single person to come in. Please just join us.
Okay, and that's coming up on Sunday, April 3rd, which is a week from tonight.
Exactly. It's so soon. We're so excited.
It is. And, of course, we'll be there the entire time to talk with people and greet people and thank everybody for coming in. And definitely Positive Images will be there with representatives, people from their board, and some of the youth members will be there to answer your questions and talk about Positive Images. We've been talking with T, who is one of the owners of the C-Thai Bistro here in Santa Rosa. T, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
And we'll be back with more right after the music break.
Hi, my name's Deacon.
Hi, my name is Randy.
And my name's Zari, and we're peer counselors at Positive Images.
Positive Images is a member-driven organization that provides support and advocacy to LGBTQI youth and young adults.
We would also like to invite you to come with us and meet with us on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. at Santa Rosa High School.
If you want to learn more, please call us at 707-568-5830. Also, you can go to our website at www.pauseimages.org.
That you made, and so it goes. Everything inside your circle starts to overflow. Take a step before you leave.
to the colors that you seek. You give back what you give away. So don't look back on yesterday. Wanna scream out, no more hiding. Don't be afraid of what's inside. Wanna tell you, you'll be alright in the aftermath. Anytime anybody pulls you down, anytime anybody says you're not. Lies and contradictions that you live with every day. Well, it's not too late. Just think of what could be if you rewrite the role you play. Now take a step before you leap into the colors that you seek. You get back what you give away. So don't look back on yesterday. Wanna scream out, no more hiding. Don't be afraid of what's inside. Wanna tell ya, you'll be alright in the aftermath. Anytime anybody pulls you down, anytime anybody says you're not allowed, just remember you are not alone in the aftermath.
Listening to Outbeat Now on member-supported KRCB FM Santa Rosa. That was Adam Lambert with his latest hit, Aftermath, from his Glam Nation Live CD. It's time now for the Outbeat Youth segment.
Please put my soul out to love. I am so, so alive.
Welcome to this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. I'm Greg Moralia. Outbeat Youth is a program for and about LGBT youth here in the North Bay and beyond. We're here every month as part of Outbeat Now. You know, these days it's not unusual for a high school student to come out to their family and friends. And usually young people start out by telling, you know, a close friend in private. Sometimes they even post their status on Facebook. But Maria Carrillo High School student Kayla Kearney took a very different approach. Last January, she decided to share her story with the entire student body during a Martin Luther King Day assembly. Here's a little bit from her assembly presentation.
So about a month ago, I walked into Ms. Mansell's classroom after school to talk to her about the MLK assembly. She greeted me with a smile and started to talk to me about what song she wanted me to sing. But I told her that I wasn't there to sing, that I wanted to speak, that I wanted to stand in front of all of you and break my silence. I'm terrified to share my message. I'm afraid of losing friends and losing loved ones. I'm afraid of losing my reputation at this school and the way people look at me. This speech will change my life forever, but I hope that my words can change more. I grew up like any other kid. Great parents, lots of love, normal experiences. I had my first boyfriend when I was in kindergarten. We would hold hands and walk down the playground together. At 5 years old, I sought nothing but friendship. However, my parents and all the grown-ups in my life thought it was very cute and normal. Sixth grade came and hormones kicked in. I thought the feelings I was feeling towards boys were the same as any other preteen my age. It was a year later, in seventh grade, when I went to this play and I saw this girl on stage and I got this electricity that ran through my body, something I've never felt before. Now, it wasn't long before I made the connection that what I was feeling was the same feeling that my friends described to me when they saw a cute guy. The second I made that connection, I felt sick to my stomach. I realized what was happening and I couldn't handle it. I lie awake that night, trying to come up with some explanation to describe the feelings I was having. Anything besides being gay.
And with us tonight in the studio is Kayla Carney. Kayla, welcome to Outbeat Youth.
Thank you.
Well, that was quite a presentation at your school. I mean, every time I hear it, I sort of get chills. Start off by telling us, what year are you at Maria Carrillo?
I'm a senior at Carrillo.
Okay, and when did you make the decision to come out initially?
It actually, at first, was a very kind of far-fetched idea between me and a couple friends who were a part of the assembly, and it's kind of a what if, that'd be crazy type of thing. And it just sort of developed into a more realistic idea. And I decided that I wanted to, you know, affect my school, make a change.
Now, had you already come out to your close friends and family?
I had at that point, yeah. It was about that summer when I started to come out to myself and my family. And then when the school started in the fall, I came out to my close group of friends. But I was very persistent not to tell anyone else. I didn't want it to spread. But giving the speech gave me the opportunity to kind of tell my story my way.
Right.
So it was, I think, a bit of a better deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot because I know your mom and your sister are in the studio with us tonight. But what was it like for you? Were you afraid to tell your parents? I mean, how did that all go?
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely was nervous. It's something that you're definitely sort of crashing big news, you know, and
right.
They always say, you know, your parents have to have their own coming out after you come out to them because they have to sort of change the way they've always pictured you. You know, they have like dreams for you, you know, growing up, marrying,
sure.
marrying a guy, you know, having kids, that classic dream. And so they were absolutely supportive, but they had to take that time to sort of shift their perspectives. I mean,
right. So tell us what this assembly was. It was on Martin Luther King Day, right?
It wasn't on Martin Luther King Day, but it was just around that time. And it was every year we do it in honor of his life and his message and his dream. And this year's theme was time to break the silence about the things that matter. So my speech sort of fit the theme.
Now, who put this assembly together? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, where did the idea come from? Because it seems so perfect for today.
Yeah, well, my teacher, Miss Mansell, she's the speech teacher at our school. She used to work at Piner, and she started this at Piner High School, and I'm pretty sure they still do it. And so she came over to Carrillo and continued it here. I think this was the sixth time we've done it.
And so what usually takes place? Do students perform or do they give speeches? What usually happens?
Yeah, it's a correlation of different things. We had a poem, mainly speeches, but we incorporate music just to kind of break them up. And they're all related around the theme of breaking the silence. So.
Okay. So when did you decide to participate in the assembly and where did the idea for putting together such a unique presentation come from?
Well, it was definitely, like I said, a far-fetched idea at first, but I felt like I had the opportunity to really, you know, touch people in a way that you can't really do on any other setting. You know, they were in this theater, in this enclosed space. We were all together, and they listened to, you know, me telling this very personal story about, you know, my life. And they, I think I opened the conversation. I think that's the main thing I wanted to do, was I opened the conversation to talk about this topic, because it wasn't really talked about, you know, at my school. You know, with teachers, definitely don't talk about it. My group of friends, the topic never really came up. Like, hey, like, have you ever thought you're gay? Or like, have you ever had feelings like that? Or it just never really came up. So opening that conversation helps people start to talk about it, which helps people understand, which helps exactly. acceptance. So.
Right. Now, Maria Carrillo has a Gay Straight Alliance on the campus, right?
It does, yeah. It's not really a popular club, I would say. It had a video as a part of the MLK assembly, and that was really cool. But I wouldn't say we have a lot of openly gay kids at our campus. I know a few, but mostly as far as I know, the GSA consists of mainly straight allies. So,
well, nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. No.
That's great. So let's get back to your presentation. How did you prepare for it?
Well, I definitely spent a lot of time working on different rough drafts and versions of my speech. I also memorized it. I wanted to just be totally raw with the audience. I didn't want to have a podium separating me from my peers or anything like that. But I definitely went through many different versions and edited it. I even gave it to my English teacher, who I really respect him. He's a really good editor, and he gave me some good critique. So, I definitely prepared. I practiced hundreds of times, it feels like, because I wanted it to be really good. I wanted it to really touch people. So
I got to ask you, when you walked up on that stage, because you did it several times that day, right? How many times did you have to make the presentation?
Yeah, it was over a 2-day period because we have block schedules. So each period of English classes would come in. So I did it 7 times total. 6 times for students, wow. And 1 time for parents and the public or whoever wanted to come.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me what it was like to walk on that stage the very first time with that mic in your hand, looking out at all of your peers.
Absolutely nerve-wracking. I mean, I've always been a performer. I do choir and drama at my school. So my peers and my friends are very used to seeing me on that stage. I've performed lots of times there. But it was definitely never felt so much stage fright. the first speech I made was probably the most nerve-wracking. I didn't know how the students were going to take it. My speech teacher, Miss Mansell, told me, you know, I had to prepare for the worst. You know, someone might interrupt you in the middle of your speech, shout something. But they took it very well. And after that, I still got nervous before every speech, but it was less frightening.
So. Any more of a challenge in talking to the parents?
Definitely. I felt a little bit more nervous, actually, that night, because it's not a accepting teenage group, you know. You have, with adults, they've already grown up, they've already kind of come up with their, you know, what they believe in, and it's a little bit more difficult to shape their ideas or try to change that at all. So
how did your peers react?
My peers reacted amazingly. I expected to be, for the most part, accepted, but I didn't expect to be so well respected, actually. And it's just, I had, you know, tons of Facebook wall posts all over my wall for the next, like, week. You know, people telling me how inspiring I am, how amazing it was. Some people came up to me and said, you know, I've always been a little uncomfortable with gay people or homosexuality, but you really opened my mind up. Those were the best ones. There was some letters written from different students to me that I hadn't met before, but they said, you know, I'm gay and you made me feel better about possibly coming out. The overall reaction was great, almost 100% positive. And I'm sure there was, you know, some negative comments said behind my back, but for the most part, everyone, really respected me for my courage. So,
oh yeah. I mean, how could you not? You know, it's really, really impressive. So how have things gone since then? I know you originally talked about the fact that you wanted to start a conversation and you saw this as an opportunity for that to happen. Has it happened at the school since?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Now that I'm out, I'm able to, you know, talk about it more freely. You know, I can refer to it like any other teenager would. You know, you see like a cute guy down the street, you'd say, hey, they're cute. I can do that, you know, with a girl now openly, and I don't have to worry about making sure I, you know, watching what I say. And I think especially in my group of friends, it's definitely opened up the conversation with the people who I interact with. I'm not really sure between the people who I'm when I'm not there, but I hope so.
Right. Well, yeah. The story certainly had an impact beyond Maria Carrillo High School. I mean, it was in the Press Democrat. It's I'll say it's gone viral, certainly in the gay community on YouTube. And I understand the Advocate magazine may have picked up the story. And something about you've been chosen to be.
Yeah,
tell us about that.
I've been chosen as one of the 30 or 40 under 30 of most inspiring youth or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but it's really exciting. They, you know, sent me some interview questions, and I should be in the upcoming issue or something like that.
Well, we'll definitely look for that online.
Yeah.
For all of the young people out there who are thinking about coming out, who are listening to the show, and they're thinking, gosh, I wish I could do that. If you had them all in one room, what advice would you give them?
I would say, you know what, just remember that you are who you are, and you know in your heart that there's nothing you can do to change that, and you just have to have faith in the people who love you, and the people who really are your true friends and really do care about you are not going to care. You know, there's a great quote by Dr. Seuss. It's one of my favorite quotes, and it's be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind.
Great quote.
And it's really true. You know, you just know that the people who love you will be there for you no matter what. And they're totally out there.
Great. Great. Well, and if you'd like to listen and watch Kayla's entire presentation to her school, we'll have the link for it on the Outbeat Youth website. That should be up by tomorrow morning. But if you can't wait, you can go on YouTube and just search Kayla Carney's name, and it'll come right up for you at the beginning of the search. Kayla, thanks so much for being with us tonight on Outbeat Youth.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back after this.
So alive.
Are you a writer, poet, or musician? Let the world hear your voice on a special Outbeat Youth talent show broadcasting live here on KRCB Radio the last Sunday of May 2011. Read your poetry, short essay, or perform your music. Let Sonoma County and the rest of the world hear what you've got to say. We're looking for LGBT youth under 25 years of age to feature on this show. To sign up or get more information, go to outbeatyouth.com and click on Talent Show at the top of the page.
And our next guest tonight is the founder of Fit for Equality, Mike Belwiomini.
Belwiomini.
Belwiomini. You know, I practiced that about five times and I still messed it up. Mike,
I have too, and I still mess it up.
Well, Mike, welcome to Outbeat Youth.
Thank you.
Tell us what about Fit for Equality and where the idea came from to form this organization.
Well, you know, it I guess fostered many years ago as a youth. I didn't realize it until I started Fit for Equality. Basically, there's nothing worse than not being able to be who you are as a youth. It's very suppressing. And coming out as a young man, coming through to those realizations, I wanted to try to help LGBT youth in public schools today so they didn't have to experience what I did as a young man in high school.
Now, you told me a little bit earlier before we were on the air, did you grow up here in Sonoma County?
Indeed. Born and raised in Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa.
It was 46,000 people.
And as you look back, you know, in your time when you were in high school, what was it like for you?
You know, my a couple of friends have asked me that, and the first thing that comes to mind, it was horrific. Not being able to be who you are and having to put on this persona that was accepting to your peers and to your family.
Yeah. I look back on my high school years, and I can definitely relate to that. So let's get back to Fit for Equality. Tell us what about the mission of the organization and, you know, what you hope to accomplish with it.
Absolutely. Fit for Equality is a nonprofit organization, and we raise and distribute funds basically to increase awareness and promote equality and enhance the lives of LGBT youth in our public school systems. And we achieve that through community-based fitness events that bring people together around this common cause And then Fit for Equality supports organizations that provide outreach and education programs for LGBT youth. And there's a lot of great organizations out there that we are supporting today. Positive Images right here in Sonoma County is an organization that we hope to support. Spectrum of Marin, Face to Face, and of course the Gay Straight Alliance Network as well.
Right. And that's so important, particularly now that schools are suffering, you know, budget cuts, and there isn't just extra funding to support Gay Straight Alliances at high schools.
Absolutely. You know, the funding, even for public radio, is being attacked. And, you know, being able to raise funds for these wonderful organizations through a healthy activity event is a great way to bring people together, unite them. It's easy to donate to organizations and write a check, but as soon as that check goes in the mail, it's kind of out of mind, right?
Right.
But if you bring people together for an event, there's a time commitment, there's dedication, and it's a lasting memory that way.
Well, it helps foster community. You talked about people coming together for a particular event, and this is really unique because you're planning to do a variety of, you know, outdoor and physical type events. Which we'll talk about here in a second, but tell us about your coming out party that I heard about.
That was great. In fact, we had the privilege of having Kayla Carney be one of our guest speakers at that event. It was in January, held in Marin County in Mill Valley, and we had wonderful attendance, approximately 150 people, and what a wonderful crowd it was. It was a crowd of gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, young and old. It was such a great mix of people in that room. And that's really what our goal is to bring awareness for LGBT youth equality and acceptance. And it was great to see the mix of people there.
So tell us about the events that are coming up.
We have a wonderful event coming up April 23rd. It's the Marin 5K, 10K, and Half Marathon held in San Rafael. And if you go to fitforequality.org, you can fill out the registration inquiry form and sign up for that event. And it's for all abilities, whether you want to run, jog, or race the events, all activity abilities are welcome. And it's going to be a great time out there. Hopefully the weather will cooperate.
Yeah, let's hope so. We certainly had enough rain. What are some of the plans that you have for the future?
Well, we're looking into establishing some hikes on Mount Tam, also a snowshoe trek coming up next ski season. Basically, the bigger idea is to bring these activity events through every GSA network organization out there, and they are nationwide, so this is a big vision, but we're going to start small right here in our own backyard.
Great. And so how do people find out about these events?
You can find out on our website, fitforequality.org, and also through active.com, as the events that we associate with are advertised there as well.
Okay. So tell us long-term, what's your vision for the organization? Where would you like to see it go in, say, 5 years?
I would love Fit for Equality to be the go-to event company that brings LGBT youth together. Again, it's a great organization to promote equality and raise funds for these great organizations out there that are doing amazing work in our public schools. And there's no better way to rally the troops around an outdoor activity.
Right. I mean, it's tough because, you know, federal funding, state funding is also being cut. I know Positive Images is funded largely by local donations. So to have now an organization out there sort of being its champion to help fundraise with it is really fantastic. Do you see any movement with the GSAs, or do you have any interest in them moving into, let's say, the middle schools in the area?
The GSA network is actually looking into that. Primarily, GSA network are in the high schools and junior high schools. But I have the belief that education about LGBT equality needs to start in middle schools. You know, people fear what they don't understand. And
right.
If you don't talk about it, it all of a sudden becomes taboo. And that's part of the challenge that our community has run into.
Sure. What kind of reception have you gotten from the schools? Have you had any contact with them?
through the GSA network we have. Very welcome, very excited about Fit for Equality, as well as the local organizations that I had mentioned earlier are very excited about Fit for Equality, because what we are here and in existence to help them carry their programs forward. So they're very excited about it.
Yeah, it's a unique niche. You know, you're not out doing these events with you know, dinners and all of that. You've really got a healthy way to raise money and also bring people together, and I think that's pretty unique. Any possibilities of getting this out as a model for, you know, other parts of the state or the country?
Yes, hopefully through using the vehicle and relationships that GSA Network has established across the nation. Part of the reason why we have partnered with them in this endeavor.
Very good. And so tell us again where people can go to learn more about Fit for Equality or to get involved.
Fitforequality.org.
Okay, and you're also on Facebook as well.
Absolutely, Facebook.
Is that a good way for people to stay connected?
It really is. It's a great forum to chat. It's been a great platform for us to advertise our local events as well.
And I'm assuming that you have a mailing list that people can sign up for?
Absolutely. On fitforequality.org, there's a contact registration form if you'd like to receive our e-newsletter.
Great. Fitforequality.org is the website. And tell us again when the marathon is coming up.
April 23rd, and it's a great way for people to get involved and fundraise. And if you aren't able to participate as a runner or walker, you can certainly volunteer at our Run Aid station as well.
Very good. Mike, thanks so much for being with us tonight on Outbeat Youth.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Outbeat Radio host Greg Moralia. Join me for a four-course gourmet crab feast featuring fresh Dungeness crab with wine at the Seatai Bistro in Santa Rosa. Proceeds benefit two incredible youth organizations here in Sonoma County, Positive Images and the Out to Protect Scholarship Fund. Four seatings are available for this special event on Sunday, April 3rd. Get your tickets at the restaurant or online at outtoprotect.org.
And we will definitely hope to see you all there next Sunday. That wraps up this edition of Outbeat Youth. Remember, you can follow us all month long on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. As well, you can listen to past shows and download them on our website at outbeatyouth.com, as well as on iTunes. And this also brings us to the end of another edition of Outbeat Now. I'll see you next Sunday at Seatai Bistro. Don't forget, you can get your tickets at outtoprotect.org or by stopping by the restaurant in Montgomery Village. Jeff and I will be back on the fourth Sunday of April, and you can tune in next week at 8 p.m. for Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, and have a fantastic week.